with the words of that hymn in your mind, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. I'm going to ask you to stand out of respect for God's word. Reading in Jesus' name. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias, there we go, thank you. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that they may eat?" This he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to eat, receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers of about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, and likewise also of the fish as much as they wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up and filled the 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, when the people saw the signs which he had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." So Jesus perceived that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Let us pray. Lord, today, just quiet our hearts. Speak to us today, Lord. Lord, that so oftentimes we've gotten to the point, sometimes we think we've heard everything there is to hear from the scriptures and from the stories and the miracles. But yet, Lord, we know that there is so much more to learn. Give us something new and fresh to each one here today, Lord. May it be just one little morsel that we may be fed. In thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I titled my message, "The Impossible by Jesus." Our text today records a unique incident in the ministry of our Savior and Lord. This not only confirms the deity of Jesus, but it also gives us a thrilling insight to the power that Jesus had, that he could do the impossible. This miracle is the only miracle that is recorded in all 4 Gospels. This was a real miracle. There's no other way to explain it. When you read the Word of God, you begin to realize that this is happened as it says. We see that Jesus is the creator. That when he plans on something that is impossible humanly, great things begin to happen. He brings into an existence very large quantities of food. Large quantities of food that did not exist before this. It's impossible for anyone else to take and make this happen. Let's look today at what is involved in Jesus doing the impossible today. I want each of you today to look deep within yourself, and I want you to take a look at that most challenging thing that you're dealing with in your Christian walk today. I want you to consider that seriously. I'm not asking these questions just to fill space. I'm asking you to really look deep. I want you to really consider what it is that you're challenging. How are you going to deal with that challenge in your life? You think it's an impossible challenge? Can Jesus still do the impossible today, even in your life? Number one, the impossible becomes possible when we rely on our Redeemer. The impossible becomes possible when we rely on our Redeemer. Look at the story. We find that Jesus goes up onto the mountainside and wants to sit down with his 12 disciples. Excuse me. These disciples are tired. They're weary because these 12 disciples, when you study Scripture and you understand that what's just happened is Jesus had sent them out. He told them to go give the message of redemption. They went out, and what did they do? When they got tired, they came back to Jesus for rest and relaxation. The disciples had been commissioned to preach the message of repentance and of the arrival of the King. They came back from their trip footsore. They didn't get to get in their big fancy vehicle and drive down the highway. They had to walk. They went out. There were probably some tense moments. There were even some trying times as they were proclaiming the gospel. Anyone who has gone from place to place, from house to house, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and confirm how exhausting it is, how emotionally draining it is when you go and give of yourself to minister to those around you. Christ was loving and compassionate. He wanted his children to come back to him in their struggles. He wants them to spend quality time with him. He wants them to hold on to him. And all this time, you have to understand that Christ had come to earth and he had his eyes set on Calvary. He knew his time was coming. He was going to suffer and he was going to die. And here he is wanting his children to come to him to be comforted, to be strengthened. How many times do we walk away from God instead of going to God when we need comfort, when we need strength? These disciples, they needed a time to get away from people. They needed a time to be healed. and the healing that they needed could only come from the Savior. Whatever ministry you're in, you need to withdraw once in a while and spend time with the Lord. I used to always feel real guilty about that, thinking that I was drawing away from people. But every once in a while, even for myself, as your pastor, I draw away from people. I pull back so I can spend time with the Lord myself, so that I can be fresh and ready to serve again. Because what happens is we get tired if we don't back off once in a while and be refreshed. How many of you have ever gotten tired? You can't take another step because you're not spiritually fed, spiritually rejuvenated. Jesus looks and he sees this large crowd coming. As we look at the four gospel accounts, we find that there were 5,000 men plus women and children, so somewhere probably between 8 to 15 plus 1,000 people. Can you imagine that mass of people coming across the land towards Jesus? I can't even begin to imagine trying to speak to 10 or 15,000 people. But here they were, coming with a need. They were tired. They were weary. The disciples, that is. And yet here they were going to be put into a position to serve the people. No matter how tired we get, when we come to Jesus, he can give us the strength for the next step. He can do the impossible through us. It wasn't long, and they began to see that there was a very critical need that was very apparent. The people were hungry. There wasn't a concession stand over in the corner where they could go and buy popcorn. There wasn't a convenience store around the corner. There was nothing that was close that had the amount of food they needed for these people. The disciples did not know what to do. The disciples, in their humanness, said this is humanly impossible. Humanly impossible to feed this many people when there's no food available. Their response, the disciples, could be called maybe the wringing of the holy hands. Have you ever seen that done in a church? What are we going to do now? We oftentimes begin to do that. We begin to say, what is it we're going to do? This is the response of so many Christians today. It's as if there's no possible answer to the dilemma. Jesus had taught his disciples from the very beginning that he, in the flesh, was God. That he was the master of every circumstance, every situation that would come. And as Christ's followers today, do you believe that Christ is the master of all situations? This was a perfect opportunity for Christ to turn the impossible situation into a possible beyond all wild imaginations. Something that was far greater. Now, what if the responses of the disciples had been different as Jesus was testing them? What would your response have been to this situation? Would it have been different than the disciples? The words of the test were really quite simple. Christ asked Philip, "Where are we going to buy the bread?" Christ already knew the answer. Christ already knew what he was going to do. He already knew where the bread was going to come from. But he wanted to test Philip. He wanted to hear Philip's response. Why? Because he wanted to grow Philip's faith. And it's not any different for you and I today. He wants your faith to grow. Why does he put us in impossible situations? Why does he allow them? He gives us a way out to grow our faith. It's clear there was a coping with the impossible. And that coping was, it was done by God for our benefit. We so oftentimes think that we can't believe or can't see it happen. Someone once said that a Christian is like a tea bag. You got to pour some hot water over it to get it to come out. Do we need to be burnt just a little once in a while so we can shine for Christ? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it says, Peter says it really best, "So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Sometimes I think we need that. We need to be going through the fire so that we praise God. I believe I was put through the fire twice this week. The first time was Monday afternoon at Northern Horizons Bible study. I was using myself as an example as I was trying to teach what it means to take something and leave it at the cross, leave it at the feet of Jesus. And I said, the way I put it was that a lot of times I'll take things to God in prayer, but then because of my humanness, I grab it and take it back with me because I don't think God can handle it. A 92-year-old lady says, "Pastor, if you can't figure it out, how can the rest of us?" I was put in my place in a quick hurry to be reminded that, yes, when we take it to him, we need to leave it there. We had a good laugh Monday afternoon. Second time I was put in the fire this week was when I was called and asked to do a funeral. But why? Because I had people praying for me. People that pray for their pastor don't know how important those people are. Because oftentimes the pastor doesn't know who's actually praying for him behind the scenes. But those prayers are so precious and are so vital. So that the pastor can pass the exam, even though Philip couldn't. Philip was still having problems believing that Christ was God's son. And Jesus was putting him to the test to to get him to understand who he really truly was. How about you today? Have you forgotten that the impossible only becomes possible when we totally rely upon God as our Redeemer? Number two, Jesus can do the impossible when we recognize our own powerlessness. Jesus can do the impossible when we recognize our own powerlessness. When we're ready to give it in and just give it to God and realize that we're powerless instead of taking it back. How many of you struggle with that? Or am I the only person that ever struggles with that? Philip had been chosen to have his faith tested and deepened that day on the hillside. When you and I face the impossible, do we focus on the impossible or do we focus on the power of God? We look at our own powerlessness, and because of that, we look at the impossible, and that's all it becomes. Philip's answer to Christ's question was about money, not having enough to buy bread. He was calculating the impossible. We often are like Philip. We try to answer the question with the wrong answer. Jesus said, "Where do we go?" Philip's answer was, "How much?" How often do you and I do the same? When Jesus says, "Where do we go?" we should say, "We go to you, Lord." Philip, if he really had understood, if he had prayerfully considered that question, he could have answered it, "Lord, to you is whom we need to go." It's clear. Philip's problem and our problem is humanly impossible. The daily wage of 200 men could not have bought enough food to feed all of those people. The first thing you and I have to come to is we have to realize our inability, our own powerlessness to do the impossible. We have to recognize that God has the sufficient ability to do it, that it's not us. We simply must admit our own inability. We must give the situation to God. We must be willing to say something like this: "Lord, I know I can trust you to solve this problem in my life." Apostle Paul wrote it probably the best in Ephesians 3:20. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." Paul had it right. He knew that it was all through God, all through Jesus Christ that works in the power within us. Number three, Jesus came to do the impossible when we make the right response. Jesus came to do the impossible when we make the right response. Andrew came to Jesus with a proposition. He says, "Jesus, there's a young lad here with a sack lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish." Now, barley loaves was the cheap flour, and they made like a small, round, flat piece of bread. It wasn't the big loaves of bread that we're thinking of today. It wasn't much. It was just a small round disc. The fish were small, more like a minnow or a sardine. That's all he had for his lunch. Andrew. Was he a pessimist or was he an optimist? Well, do you know how a pessimist looks? He looks and sees an obstacle in every opportunity. Where an optimist sees an opportunity in every obstacle. Do you see the opportunity before you today? Andrew does not focus on the size of the problem. He seems to think that Jesus is going to solve the problem. But then worry enters in. And what does Andrew say? So little for so many. How many times have you and I done that? We do that same thing over and over again in our lives. Instead of looking at the positive and eliminating the negative, we in fact rather look at the negative, at the 99% of the people out there who aren't interested in church. They're not interested in a spiritual life. And what happens? It's so many among so few of us. But don't say that you're too busy. Don't say that you don't have the time. Or don't say, how can I be faithful to all of the services that are going on at church and still have time to share the gospel with others? Or others might even say something like this: I'm only one who's trying to live a godly life, and there's so many. How can I, one person, make a difference? Forget again the impossible, because the impossible can become possible through Jesus Christ with the right response. Instead of using excuses that I'm too busy, I'm too tired, I'm too this, we need to say, Lord, use me where you can. Jesus doesn't seem to respond to Andrew's small thinking. It's true, the lad didn't have much to give. But what the lad did was he gave his all to God. He gave it all to the Son of God. And God can use it when we give him our all. He can use you and I. And that's what God needs from each one of us today. To do the impossible in our lives, he needs us to give our all to him. Number four, Jesus can do the impossible when we relax and we rely solely on him. Jesus can do the impossible when we relax and rely solely on him. Jesus, what did he do? He had the people sit down, relax. What a simplest thing that Jesus wants when he wants to do the impossible in your life and mine. He wants us to relax. He wants us to give his all, give our all. He wants us to rely on him. The miracle that we read about today was not just about feeding the 5,000, but rather it was to reveal his deity. His disciples, did you notice they were involved with this miracle? They were involved by serving the people. The miracle that we can experience today is the salvation of a lost soul. Christ chose fishermen and just ordinary men to serve him, to share the gospel, wants you to get involved as ordinary people today to share the gospel. He wants you to be blessed with one of the greatest blessings of all times. When you get involved with someone and you bring them to that point where they accept Jesus Christ and receive eternal life, you will receive the greatest blessing you've ever received. But it's relying on God to use you to do that. Because you and I can't do it in our own power. It's got to be God's power that brings somebody to that. But he uses you and I. Jesus took the fish, the bread in his hands, and he does the impossible with them through the power of God, his Father. 12 disciples distributed the food. How long would it take 12 men to distribute the food to 10 to 15,000 people? Have you ever thought about that? How long would it take? There was enough food so nobody went away hungry that day. In fact, there were 12 baskets full of food left over that Jesus did not want the disciples to waste. When God does the impossible, he does it in a very large way. How about you today? Are you being fed at the Lord's spiritual banquet table? Do you have a spiritual appetite for the bread of life? How about your thirst? Is it being quenched by the cool water of eternal life? Our part of this miracle is to share the bread and the water to a spiritually starving world around us. Number 5, Jesus can do the impossible when we release ourselves to him. Jesus can do the impossible when we release ourselves to him. When we face the impossible, we must let go. We must let God do it. We must relax our grip on the impossibles and let God take hold of them. Our Savior says we are not to give away to the thoughts of the impossible things that we might face tomorrow. In other words, we're not to worry about tomorrow. We need to take and trust Jesus Christ, not ourselves. We should not be holding our problems close to our chest, because it's God that will solve our problems, our difficulties for us. When we have a problem and we don't want to release the impossible because we think that we can deal with it alone or better than with having God involved, we've then decided that we're not going to release our all to him. And then what happens is we are doomed to a life of struggles and worry and cares that don't need to be. All of this calls for an absolute faith. A faith and a trust in Jesus Christ alone. The key to all of this is to believe and to see that the impossible is going to come to pass through the eye of faith. The impossible becomes possible when we release ourselves to God. The impossible, then through that we get to see the power of God. Can Jesus do the impossible today? Is God able to do the impossible in your life today? Do you have a river in your life that's non-crossable? Maybe you've got a mountain in your life that you cannot crawl over. Do you have a problem that seems it's insoluble? Are you carrying around hurts that seem unbearable? Surely our God can come to your aid today if only you release and believe in Him. Have you praised God when He's done the impossible in your life? I want you to praise God with me. He does the impossibles in us. When He took me out of the way and used me only as His vessel at that funeral this week. As I reach out to those people and those families, as God puts them in my path again in the weeks to come, continue to humble myself to remember that it is Him and not me. And we can then praise God for the impossible because we can't do it ourselves. Amen. Lord, today, You know our hearts. You know each one here tonight. Lord, we lift them before You. Draw them. Lord, that if they're carrying a burden today, Lord, may they seek a Christian brother or sister to pray with and to be held accountable for. Lord, as we look fully into Your face to lead and guide and direct, in Thy name we pray. Amen. Hymnal. Turn to 577.
I find no relief, no dear. does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it odd to him? Does he see? Oh, yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days of